Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Dreams and visions. And so today we're going to continue in that what's next and to talk about dreams and visions in our life and in the life of Christ and what that means. If you want the sermon notes, you can grab them there. Just to clarify again, dreams and visions don't necessarily, what we're talking about in the context of the kingdom of God, don't necessarily include all of our dreams and visions. Not the things that we want it just in life, but the dreams and visions that God gives us for ministry in life. It might include some of those others, but not always. And so we're going to read out of Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 29 to get us started. And it says this, says, "It will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men will have dreams, your young men will see visions. And even all the male and female servants I will pour out my spirit in those days." And so this a dream versus a vision really is just two different ways God communicates. It really is this simple. Dreams are while you're sleeping. Visions are while you're awake. To come to you in a dream or to come to you when you're awake and for him to show you what a dream might be if you were sleeping. And so this problem is we have such a lack of spiritual attunement, right? Being in tune with God, that we don't always hear and see these dreams and visions as God gives them to us. Or we think, as I like to joke and say, it was yesterday's chimichanga from 7-Eleven that we think is the problem, right? Okay, so, but it's not, if you're in tune with God, and I don't mean 100% all the time, every day, even though that would be fantastic, but the more we are connected to God, the more I think we see what God is showing us, and don't write it off as coincidence. We don't write it off as just circumstance. We don't write it off as somebody else's kindness, or we don't write it off as heartburn. It really is about that idea of being with him, because I say it all the time, and I can't say it enough, is that you actually have the full power of God inside of you. I do and you do. Not just a little. The full power of God by the power of his Holy Spirit. And so what would that be like? I think that maybe we might realize what the full power of God is if it were removed from us. If it were not available to us. Sort of like when your cell phone doesn't work, right? Or when you don't have Wi-Fi. Or when you're, the internet goes down, or you're without a car for a while. We realize what it is to have it, but only when we don't have it. Just matter of fact, right now, this morning, my wedding ring, the little band on it keeps breaking, and so I keep taking it to the jeweler, and so he goes, "Well, it's going to be about 2 weeks." And so all day long throughout the day, and I didn't know I really did this, but I use my thumb and I check to make sure my rings are there, right? My college ring and my wedding ring. And I don't know I'm doing that until I rub my finger across it and go, "Oh my gosh, it's not there," right? And so I don't want to do without the Holy Spirit, and I know you don't either, but what would that feel like? What would that be like? And so this idea of this dream and vision that God has birthed long before us, and there's some just for us, really started even before Joel was prophesying and saying these things. But sometimes I also think what God had birthed in dreams and visions before Joel, right, this consummation of Christ and the Holy Spirit in us and through us, you know, all the way back to Adam and Eve, right, what gets birthed in us, I think in stages and ages of our life, maybe it looks different, and it changes over time. And what we think, remember Joseph last week, he had a dream of being a leader, but he saw himself rising up above his brothers, and his brothers were bowing down to him. And that's what his vision was, that's what his dream was, but after he went 30 years, it was different. It looked different to him, and he understood what that really meant. And I think that's what it is for us. But when this happens, right? Here's what I think really happens to us. When we have these visions or we have these dreams and we're confused and we try to fit God into the box because we're like Joseph, we think our brothers are going to bow down to us and we're doing everything we can to make sure that they bow down to us, or we're doing everything we can to get that promotion, we're doing everything we can to start this ministry, we're doing everything we can to make this person our wife or our husband, we're trying to do everything we can to make this person love us, you know, whatever it is that you've got going on in your life, when we do that, we spend too much time trying to fit God on a chart, trying to formulate a relationship with God. If I do A, B, C, and D, then E, F, and G will happen. Or, well, A, B, and C happened, so it must have been because I did, you know, E, F, and G, or X, Y, and Z, or whatever. Let's stop doing that. I'm not saying there's not consequences for our actions. I'm saying that there are those, and there are things we need to do to see what we've done, but not in the grand context of God. God doesn't remove himself from us because you didn't do X, Y, or Z, right? He will never leave us nor forsake us, neither height nor depth nor breadth, and all the things will separate us from the love of God. So it's not that. And when we try to formulate God, the problem is we reduce the way of Jesus to a formula, and therefore we miss the awe and wonder of God. We miss what he's doing in our life, even the little things, the little trials that are shaping us, the little blessings that are shaping us, the little circumstances that happen that we write off to just whatever's going on. We miss those when we try to formulate everything, or when we think we're doing it all by our own strength and might. And I think that's probably where the majority of us rest. Well, I got this because I worked really hard. Or this was successful because I set it up for success. Or whatever it is. No, we need to give credit to God. We need to give him that because he's the one that gave us the dream. He's the one that gave us the vision. And if you're not having those, we'll get to that. So what, instead of trying to discern the why of what's going on in your life, why is this happening, or why isn't this happening, let's go to the other questions. God, what are you doing? God, we're not going to ask the question how, because the how is the Holy Spirit, but God, what are you doing? Where are you doing it, and when are you doing it? Where am I supposed to be in your kingdom? What am I supposed to be doing in your kingdom? And when is this going to happen? How do I discern these things? And that's where we want to go today. Because, listen, dreams and visions, he can give them to all of us. Every one of you. Now, it may not look like this fantastic dream. It may not look like the ideal life that you thought you would have, right? But for me, this idea of a dream and a vision, it happened when I was in high school, and I really thought that I was going to be called to ministry, and then that didn't happen for another 15, 16, 17 years. And then after 15, 16, 17 years, now we're 23, 24 years past that. See, it doesn't always happen the way I think it's going to, because usually you think there's step A, B, C, and D, and you have to go through these steps, but that's not always the case. And then some of those dreams, well, you thought you were going to be a millionaire by now, and you would be able to donate 10% of your income to the church, or you were going to be a reverse tither, and you were going to give 90% of the income to the church, and you were going to have all these great things, and you were going to have the perfect this and perfect that. Well, let me just tell you that cars, money, houses, and trophy spouses, those aren't always in God's plan. Now, they were in God's plan for Robin because she got one out of four. I'll let you decide what the one is. Joel wrote this 830 years before Christ. 830 years he had this idea of dreams and visions that God was going to pour out his Holy Spirit and cause those dreams and visions, this whole new era of the kingdom of God, 830 years. I just want you to do the math in your head just for a second. Let's just forget the 30. Let's go 800 years. So in the year 2824, If you want to add the 30, we'll go 28:54. Then maybe something that somebody's prophesying today might happen. Who wants to wait around for that? Oh, sorry, you can't. 830 years, right? So how do you teach the next generation your ideas and dreams and visions? How do you carry on the legacy and the visions and dreams of those that have gone before you? Especially if they never told you, right? It's not just about modeling, it's about communicating. Because Joel contains a direct promise from God. He says, I will pour out my spirit. And I love when you break this down. I mean, it really shows you the heart of God. The I is God's sovereignty. He goes, I want to do this. I am able to do it. I am going to do it. I have the right to do it. I have the power to do it. I'm going to do it. The will of God. He's determined. I will do this. Sure, 830 years from now, or whatever the timeline is going to be, I will do it. Are you going to stick with me? Are you going to carry this out? Are you going to work through this with me? I will pour out his generosity. That word pour out is one word in the Hebrew language, and it doesn't just mean the little, you know, if you have a cup of water, it's not just the little trickle to pour it out. No, it is you turning it upside down and letting it just dump out all of it. And maybe when you're done, you turn it upside down and you shake it. Right, and you bang it against the table to make sure every drop. See, that's what that means. That's the generosity of God. And then the personality of God, he says, my spirit. I will pour out my spirit upon you. Everything about God. And if you're asking yourself, and if you're not asking yourself, then you should be. But if you're asking yourself, I don't feel like I live this way, then it's not about God, it's about you, and it's about me. If I don't have this dream, I don't have this vision, are you asking? Are you seeking? Are you putting yourself in that place? We've talked about that many, many times. I mean, if you go to the water park, and, you know, they have the big giant, I know it's different in every different water park, but the last one we went to had the big giant pirate ship, and at the top it had the big bucket of water. Y'all know this, right? Giant bucket of water. I know thousands of gallons, and as it gets fuller and fuller and fuller, once it reaches its maximum capacity, it tips over, right? And so you're either one of two people, right? You're either the person that is standing near it and you start running away from it, or you're the person that wants to go play and do all the other things, and then when you hear the bell going off that it's about to dump, you start running towards it. See, I will pour out my spirit. I don't mean this literally, but I believe we need to be in a place of receptivity, right, to receive the pouring, right? Are you walking around with an umbrella, right? Are you walking around like this? Are you walking around on the periphery of what God's kingdom is? Or are you asking, where should I be? What should I be doing? What are you doing? And how is the Holy Spirit going to use me? How is he going to empower me? This is one of the greatest statements in the Bible, by the way, that he will pour out. That Hebrew word is that generosity of God. And again, if you don't feel the generosity of God, then put yourself in a place to start feeling it. Start asking him and seeking him, because I need you as a leader, right? Not for our church necessarily, even though that's great, but I need you. I need you to have dreams. I need you to have visions, to be a leader, to be in ministry, to invite other people in, to recruit people to do God's work, right, on your behalf. I mean, I do it. You do God's work on my behalf. I'm recruiting you. Now it's time for you to go out and recruit others and to do things different. We can't always do just the same things all the time. We need new ideas. We need new visions. Personal ministry, corporate ministry. It may just be you by yourself. It may be you and 5 people. It may be you and 100 people, right? It may be you. I don't know what that is or how that's going to look. The way it works out here is he's saying it's for everybody. It's for everybody. It's really, we could go all the way back to Numbers chapter 11. This is in the notes if you want it. Numbers chapter 11, Moses wished for it. He literally says, he said, would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. I mean, Moses, he's begging God for it. He's praying for it. He's wishing for it. Joel predicts it, and Peter in Acts chapter 2, about verse 14, 15, 16, he starts explaining it. So we have 830 years plus about 32, 33, 34 years of Jesus' ministry, and all of a sudden it all comes to fruition in Acts chapter 2 where he says, right, where they look at everybody that are different all of a sudden and they're accusing them of being drunk. And Peter says, they're not drunk. They're full of the Holy Spirit. It's come. He's here. It's this time. It's everything that's been predicted. Joel that said it. God that said it. Jesus had said it. Right? Over and over and over again. And now it's available to you. And here's the other great thing is it doesn't discriminate on the basis of age. Right? Hallelujah. Your old men will dream dreams. Right? Doesn't matter. Your young men will see visions. It doesn't matter if it's a male or a female. It doesn't matter if you're free or if you're not free. It doesn't matter what your age is. It doesn't matter what your sex is. It doesn't matter on your social class. He even says, your servants are going to receive this. Everybody. So one final point is the idea of this idea of dreams and visions and the Holy Spirit is you can't have Joel, right? You can't have this, I will pour out my spirit upon you without Acts chapter 2 and where Jesus, before even that, says, I'm going to send you out by the power of my Holy Spirit. You can't have it and keep it. You have to have it and give it away. You can't have it and just want it for yourself. You get it so you can give it to others. And this is where I think we have a harder time. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Right? I'm not asking you to go to the ends of the earth. I'm just asking you to go to the end of your block. I'm just asking you to go at your office to the end of your hallway. I'm just asking you in your household, maybe, to go to the end of the hallway where your children are and talk to them and to be a part, or your neighbor or wherever it is. And maybe you might get to go to the ends of the earth. Maybe you are going to other places. Right? Maybe you will be a missionary and that'll be your full-time job. Or maybe you'll be a vacationing missionary, and when you go on vacation, then you get to proclaim Jesus to others. But you can also do it at the grocery store. Right? I mean, we've done this. We've talked about this over and over and over. But when it happens, and what happens is we really try to conform everybody's dreams. This is hard for me. I'm going to confess, this is my hardest thing. Matt, I had this dream or I had this vision or God's placed this on my heart. And I go, oh my gosh, that's going to be so complicated and that's going to be hard. And that doesn't really fit into what I like doing. And I don't know how we're going to work that in. And you're like, yeah, that was a really good dream. Why don't you just work on that? Right? I want it to fit into what's comfortable for me. That's not the way it works. Because you know what dreams and visions do? They make you look like a wackadoodle. Right? If you're Joseph, you have this dream about who you're going to be, and your dad gives you this multicolored, really beautiful coat. I mean, he's, okay, I'm just going to do it. I wasn't going to, but I am. Who has seen Seinfeld where Kramer has the really long multicolored coat on, and it's got the fur collar, right? And he's got the hat, and he's got the cane, and he does my terrible impression of George Jefferson walking down New York City. You know, he's just got this little swagger on, and everybody's high-fiving him, and he's tipping his hat, and he's doing all those things. See, God intended us to look different than the world. Amen? That was not nearly exciting enough. Because none of y'all, if we passed out those coats and those hats and those canes at the door, most of y'all would figure out another way out of the building. Amen. Front row. Right. And when you get a dream and a vision from God, it's supposed to be different. And I'm supposed to, and you are supposed to help each other live into those dreams and visions. And it may be wackadoodle, and it may be really cool, and it may be really easy, or it may be really hard and difficult and complicated. It may take a long time, all sorts of things. But here's what I know is I just want you to know that God wants you to wear that coat. Right? God wants you to be different. God intended you to be different. God didn't pour out himself on you to stay the same. Just like for Barrett, the old is on the top and you go into the water and you come out and then there's the new. That's what this is about, is for us to be different. And so I want all of this to change our life, because here's what I know is God is more willing to pour out his spirit upon us, right, than we are to receive it. God is more willing to pour out his spirit upon us than we are to receive it. And here's why. And it's two little points. It's so easy. The first one is, the first barrier is judgment. Because when you put on that multicolored coat and you start telling someone about your dream or about your vision, God, they're going to judge me. Wackadoodle. Yeah, exactly. Are you crazy? And you, I mean, I'm ashamed of it, and it's not a pretty confession. I'm ashamed of it, and we all should be. But when those come, you know what we all do? We're like, oh man, you know, that's a fantastic idea. Dallas is the one you really need to talk to about this. Go see Dallas, right? Go see Matt. Go see Church on the Rock. Right? Go South America. Right? And the other part of judgment is not just that, but it's just like, you know, why do you think you're so special? Why do you think you're good enough to get this dream and I'm not? Why do you think that we should path and not this path and all these different things? And really, what you have to do, and Scripture says that you have to do this, is you back it up with Scripture. And you back it up with other Christians in fellowship with you, and you back it up with a tradition of Scripture. You back it up with a need in the community and what it's going to do, and that's just part of what you have to do. But the other one is, I think, and the one that's even harder, is disappointment. Because it's always a reason why God hasn't for you, or with you, or called you, or directed you. Find what I'm doing for you. And I'm disappointed. It's so easy, because when it doesn't work out the way I want it to, I get disappointed. And I mean this sincerely. I promise you, it always works out. Every time. Whatever God sets you out to do, it always works out in some form or fashion, just not the way you wanted it to. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it's perfect and everything's great. But just like for Easter this year, on Friday, we decided to do the candy blast, and we did everything on Friday instead of Saturday, because there's so many things going on Saturday now. When we started all of this years ago, we literally were one of a handful of Saturday activities like we do here. And, you know, 400 or 500 people showed up. Well, so we thought, well, it's kind of dwindling on Saturday. Let's move it to Friday. So we did it on Friday, and we just had a fraction show up on Friday that ever show up on a Saturday. And so we were talking about it as we were watching it unfold and just saying, well, you know, what did we not advertise right? Did we not do this well? Did we? And we just went through all these things that we do. But then it came time for worship. And so every year, on Saturday, we invite everybody back to Sunday morning. We've even offered baptisms on Saturday. Nobody's ever taken us up on that. Very few people come back on Sunday. And so it came time for worship on Friday night, because we always have a Good Friday worship service. And oh my gosh, those people that showed up on Friday, the small crowd, they stayed for worship. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. We had a prayer station in the back. We've never really done that before. We've offered prayers, but I mean, just say, hey, if you need prayer, talk to someone, go back there and do a line. and written and the prayers that were turned, the people that stayed afterwards. Totally. I mean, that's what we've been trying to do. And then they came back on. But we didn't just blast. We offered Jesus and an opportunity, and that paid off. And guess what? It wasn't anything like we thought it was going to be. And we were so disappointed in the front of the church, and then when we walked into the presence of God, it worked out just the way he wanted it to. So I think we had this discussion to a good service is about 7, and we more than double that just on Friday night by the way God moved in that power. See, that's a dream and a vision. And we didn't even know we had it. We had a dream and a vision just to make it different. God had a dream and a vision to make it different and so he could use it. That's what we need. And then there was absolutely no disappointment. So, what's next? It's for you to ask God where he's moving. Ask God what he's doing, and ask God to give you a vision of how you should be involved. Give you a dream about how to partner with him and what he's doing and come alongside of him, because we need to figure out how to be in ministry and mission with God in Lubbock, Texas. I got asked this question just this last week in a meeting. How is your church partnering with God in the ministry and mission in Lubbock, Texas? And I sat there with a deer in the headlight look and say, I really don't have a good answer. We do Sunday morning, we do Wednesdays, we do Bible studies, we do all these things, but it really didn't answer the question of mission and ministry in the community. And so, Lord, then somebody said, well, you know, we've done this ministry. Well, yeah, that was 15 years ago. Well, we've done this ministry. Well, yeah, that was 14 years ago. We've done this ministry. And boy, they started naming all these things that we just haven't done much in the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And maybe you have. Thank you and praise God. But for me and a vision and a mission for the church, yeah, not very good. And I don't want that for us. I don't want that for you, because you need to have a dream and a vision for your family. You need to have a dream and a vision for your career. You need to have a dream and a vision for how to be a part of what God is doing. Because that's how we're going to, you, not the church, that's how we're going to grow the kingdom. Dallas and I talk all the time, and it's really, it's hard. When we are part of kingdom work that really we personally don't get to be involved in. It's hard to be a part of kingdom work when we raise up leaders and they go out and do other things. Dallas and I went to lunch, I don't know, a couple of days ago, and a person walked up to Dallas. They were giving me credit, and I just kept pointing to Dallas because I did nothing for this person, literally nothing. Dallas did, and just how he brought them up in leadership and brought them up in music and brought them up in discipleship, and they came and just said, you know, thank you, because I wouldn't be able to do this, and I wouldn't have been able to do this, and I wouldn't be able to do this. Well, guess what? They're doing it somewhere else. I didn't even touch. Dallas is going to laugh. I tried to really quickly take the conversation to the baseball game that was on the TV screens, because I did not want to talk about kingdom work and losing someone else to go somewhere else. Because it's selfish on my part, and it hurts a little bit. Anyway, in Dallas, he wouldn't let me off the hook. I'm eating chips as fast as I could. And he said, man, did you see that? That was a double play. He goes, okay, I'm going to say it. He goes, yeah, he's like, it sucks to have to do kingdom work. Sometimes. Because your dreams and visions may take you somewhere else. And I don't want to see you go. Your dreams and visions may take us somewhere else. And we have to all get used to that, right? But that's the kingdom. That's who God is. It's never the way we want it to be, but it's always the way he intended it to be. So I'm going to pray for you. Lord God, I so sincerely, Lord, you in your might. Lord, you in your wisdom from the beginning up until now. Lord, you've given your dreams and visions to your people. Father, and it's so important. You gave it to one of your prophets so it would get written down so we wouldn't forget. But yet we do. Lord, I pray for literally, if I could name you all by name in this very moment, I would. I would pray for you by name in this room and online and in our community of faith that you yourself personally would have a dream from God about direction in your life. That you, a surprise vision out of nowhere about the direction for your life, to lead your family differently, to raise your children to be mighty warriors for God and the kingdom, in their schools, in their colleges, in their workplaces, for your marriages, to be radically different for Jesus. And you're the one that gets the benefit. God said, I will pour out my spirit upon you so you can have the benefit of heaven in your life. Lord, we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done through dreams and visions on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to give you just a second. Just offer yourself up to God. You know what you need in your life. You know where you're lacking. You know where you're not in His will right now. And if you say, I don't even know what His will is, then say that to God and beg Him to show you what His will is for your life. Lord, the answer to all your promises is yes and amen. So I'm going to take that all of us old folks, we're going to dream dreams. All of us young folks, we're going to see visions, Lord, and we are going to change Lubbock, Texas. In the name of Jesus Christ, all the people said, amen, amen. Let's stand and let's close in worship. And just as we do, as you lift up your voices, just know that our praise changes everything.
Church, would you join me as we close this in prayer? Father, we come to you humbly. Father, just with great hearts, Lord, this morning. Father, we thank you for the word today. Lord, just the visions, Lord, for the church, the visions individually, the dreams that we have that are from you, Lord. I pray that we're receptive, that our hearts are open, that we're not jaded. And for those of us who are hesitant, Lord, I just pray that, Lord, that you just open a door, that not only the door is open, that we see it and that we bravely walk through it to complete your mission, the mission that you have set for us individually, the mission that you have set for the church. Lord, as we go out this week, Lord, I pray over each encounter that each of us may have at work, on the street, at the restaurant, and in our homes. Lord, watch over us, and we thank you and we love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, church.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.